Good morning, Geneva. The year and the semester has come to an end. Of course, some of you are still in the midst of finishing final exams and writing papers and in the middle of finishing projects, but the end is here, and so congratulations. Many of you are anticipating coming back next fall, Lord willing, but some of you are finishing up your Geneva career and you're about to start on a new adventure where God's leading you. This year didn't end, of course, the way we anticipated. Instead of going out with all your friends and celebrating and listening to the greatest hits of the last 4 years and reminiscing and telling all your favorite stories and listening to Long Live by Taylor Swift together, you have to do all that stuff on your own, of course. And we're sad that we missed that part of this experience. But even though we can't celebrate together, we're thankful for you. We're excited how God has shaped you and molded you and gifted you to serve in his kingdom. And we're excited to see what God has in store for you. It's been a privilege to be with you this year. Thank you for welcoming me into the Geneva community. I hope our time together has been an encouragement to you, has been helpful. And so as we close the year together, I want to reflect on the blessing of God. As you go, you must go with the blessing of God. Learn to live consciously in the reality of the blessing of God. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. So join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come to the end of the year, we recount your wonderful acts in our lives. We thank you for the years gone by, for the lessons we've learned, for the friendships that have grown. We thank you for the joyful times, the times of hard laughter, the times of good test results and fun activities. We thank you for those times of deep conversation that searched our souls, the times of discussing new ideas, the times of reflecting on what life is like and what love really means and who you really are and thinking about all these implications of what it means to serve you in all we do. We thank you for our professors who have really challenged us in the way we think about you and how we think about the world. We also thank you for those hard times of these years, for times of loneliness and times of grief, times of disappointment and conflict and failure. We thank you for these hard trials, these trials that have humbled us, for these are the trials that helped us to see that you must be our greatest joy and delight. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to learn both inside and outside the classroom, for the ways you've matured us and prepared us for the next steps in life. And so we simply ask you to send us with your blessing and continue to do your good work in our lives. Direct our steps in the coming weeks and in the coming months, and let your blessing continue to rest upon us. As our faith is tested over this time, let it be purified and be proven genuine. Some of us don't have plans for the future, so we ask you to show us the way forward. Some of us do have plans, but we trust you to direct our steps. Give us the community that we need, a church to be a part of and connected to, and ways to contribute to the building of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shine your face upon us. Let us seek first your kingdom in all things. Use us as instruments in your hands, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. This, of course, is the very end of the book of Ephesians, and this is where Paul pronounces the blessing of God. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. That's the word of God, the blessing of God. When you watch a movie, whether it's at home or in a movie theater, the movie, of course, has its dramatic ending and brings everything to resolution. The story's over. And when the story's over, the credits roll. And once the credits start rolling, the movie is over and no one really pays attention to the random names that are floating up the screen. In fact, I've seen some movies where the credits roll by so quickly, you couldn't read them even if you wanted to, even if you tried. A lot of people use the credits time to transition back into real life, moving away from the fantasy of the movie. Maybe you're starting to talk with your friends about what you liked or didn't like about the movie. You take that time to gather up your belongings, make sure you have all your juju beads that are left over and the cup of coffee you snuck in. And then you make your way for the parking lot. And all the while, the credits keep rolling. Well, sometimes we can approach the blessing of God in the same way we approach the credits of a movie. This book ends with a blessing, and lots of worship services end with a benediction, which is just a fancy word for blessing. And oftentimes we can treat the blessing of God just like we treat movie credits. You know, the sermon's finished. It's time to go home, get something to eat. Maybe you're thinking about who you're going to talk to after church. Lots of people use that time to pick up all their stuff, make sure they got all their books and crayons and everything all gathered up and put in their bag. They put their jacket on. All the while, the blessing is being pronounced. The reality, though, is that something really significant happens in the blessing of God. Because as the people leave the house of God and return home, God is blessing them as they go. He promises to go with them and to shine his face upon them. Well, as we finish up this year, I want to reflect on the blessing of God so that as you know you go with God's blessing. This is a blessing that you need to live by, a blessing that you need to breathe in. This is a blessing that you can't afford to leave without. Learn to cherish and to live in the reality of the blessing of God. As a pastor, I've had people occasionally ask me, what exactly is it at the end of the service? When I'm pronouncing the blessing, is it a prayer to God? Are we asking God to give us his grace and peace? Do I close my eyes when the blessing is offered? And it's a good question. What's exactly happening in the blessing? Well, the blessing at the end of this book and the blessings that are offered at the end of our worship services, they're not just sort of hopeful wishes. And it's not even a prayer asking God to grant us his grace and peace and love. But rather, the blessing is God pronouncing the reality of his grace and peace and love upon us. It's important to know that these aren't just well wishes. It's not just a prayer, even, but it's the reality of God's blessing upon you. So the benediction is not just the signal of the end of the book or the end of the service, but it's the act of God placing his hands on you in order to give you his richest blessings. And when you understand what that is, then it's something you don't want to miss. And at this time in your life, how important it is for you as you head out into the world that you know that you have the blessing of God. Here in Ephesians, there are four components of this blessing. God blesses peace, love, faith, and grace. Four blessings that are directly connected, linked together. The first is peace. He blesses us with peace. He says, peace be to the brothers, meaning the brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. These are Christians. The peace mentioned here is the harmony and unity and reconciliation that's meant to mark the community of God's people. He's blessing us with peace, even in the midst of our many, many differences. And God grants us peace, binding us together into one body, the body of Christ. So that even when we sin against each other and hurt each other, he grants us the power of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation. He unites us together into one. Love is the second component of this blessing, and it goes hand in hand with peace. Peace grows out of the love that we have for one another in the midst of our differences. God grants us love for each other, even and especially when it's hard to love. Because we love one another, we're committed to living together in peace and unity. The third thing that he mentions here is faith. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith. Love with faith. The kind of love that produces peace and unity can only grow from a genuine faith. Only when we really understand and accept and embrace the kind of love that God has shown to us through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for the unlovable, for rebellious people, for people like you and me, only then will we be really able to understand what it means for us to love one another, to love one another with the same kind of love. Real peace and unity only comes from a faith that understands and believes that through Jesus Christ, the wall, really the many walls that used to divide us have been broken down, and we are in fact united together into one body. So it's only when you have faith in Jesus Christ will you be able to genuinely and unconditionally love and be at peace. So reconciling peace grows out of a genuine love, which flows out of a sincere faith. The fourth piece of this blessing is grace. Grace, which is the source of every good thing. Grace means that God rewards us even when we don't deserve to be rewarded, even when we could never deserve. By grace, he created us. By grace, he invited us into a loving relationship with him. By grace, when we disobeyed, he promised forgiveness and salvation. By grace, he sent his son to die in our place for our sins. By his grace, he poured out his Holy Spirit upon us to give us the gift of faith, to open our eyes and our minds to understand and to persuade us and to enable us to accept and believe and love our Savior. By grace, he's given us every spiritual blessing. By grace, he enables us to love each other with increased measure, to mimic his love in a small way. By grace, he gives us unity and peace in increasing measure in the midst of our differences. It's God's grace that's the source of every blessing. Through his grace, we're given faith. Through faith, we're motivated to love one another, and through love, we live in peace together. These are the blessings of God. You know, the blessing of God is not a new thing. It's actually a very ancient tradition. The very first benediction in the Bible is found in Numbers chapter 6, starting verse 24. And here the priest, Aaron, was to pronounce the blessing on the people. And he said this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace." And God told Aaron, the priest, he said that when you pronounce the blessing of God, you're placing my name upon the people. You're placing my name upon the people. This is the act of God of claiming you as his very own. Just like parents of a newborn, they name their newborn and they give their child their last name because they're claiming him or her as a part of their family. That indicates who the child belongs to. Through the blessing, God's reminding you what family you're really a part of. He's proclaiming the reality that as you go, he goes before you. And he goes with you and he grants you everything you need every step of the way. As those in transition, you need to drink in the blessing of God, to live in the reality of the blessing of God. God goes with you. God grants you his grace so that you can live by faith, so that you can love sincerely, so that you can be genuinely at peace. That's the blessing of God. And now it's important to recognize here that the blessing of God is qualified. It's granted only to those who love Jesus with love incorruptible. Love incorruptible. The Greek word that we translate as incorruptible can be translated in a few different ways, and it communicates the concept of sincerity. And so one translation says, those who love Jesus with a sincere love. This blessing isn't given to all people indiscriminately, but only to those who love Jesus sincerely. It's Jesus and Jesus alone that grants us access to all the blessings of God. So God promises himself to us, and then he goes with us, and through him we have every blessing, peace, love, faith, and grace, and it's a blessing on everyone who rests in Jesus and who loves Jesus sincerely. So we shouldn't treat the benediction or the blessing as a sort of a throwaway line, something to listen to while we're getting ready to go. We shouldn't treat them as the ending credits of the movie, but the blessing of God is what we're meant to breathe in and to live in. This blessing is what you need to take. It's what you need as you take your first steps in the direction of God's leading. You need the blessing of God. Jacob, of course, is the son of Isaac and the brother of Esau. And Jacob, as a young man, was a trickster and a thief. And he went through incredibly turbulent times throughout his life, times when he strayed from God, didn't listen to God. Well, there was a moment in his life where he was greatly afraid. He was traveling back home, and his brother had really a small army with him who was coming towards him. He knew his brother was on his way. And he had cheated his brother many years earlier. And he was afraid that Esau was coming to kill him. And so Jacob cried out to God. He was afraid. He cried out to God. And the Lord appeared to him in the form of a man. And it says that Jacob wrestled with him. Jacob wrestled with God all night. And when day came, God said to Jacob, "Okay, it's morning time. Let me go." Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob knew that if he left without God's blessing, he was as good as dead. If God didn't go with him, then he would be lost. He'd be destroyed. Jacob spoke again to this man, and he said, "What's your name?" And this wasn't a question of curiosity, but by asking his name, he was in another way asking for his blessing. That's the blessing of God giving us his name. And so Jacob says, "I need your name. What's your name?" And God told him, and God blessed him. Jacob knew his life depended upon the blessing of God, and he wrestled with God, and he wouldn't let go until God blessed him and gave him his name. And God did tell him. Jacob prospered. All of you students, but particularly you seniors, you're on the brink of a new adventure. You're starting a new chapter in your life. And on this journey, you'll go through times where you're overwhelmed with struggle and heartache, and you're controlled by fear or anxiety, or there's lots of unrest or high emotions or severe pain and grief. You're going to face a powerful enemy who is out to kill you. And if you don't have the blessing of God, then you're sunk. You'll be overwhelmed, overpowered, overcome. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world." And if you have that blessing, then nothing can stop you. The blessing of God is no mere formality. It's not the ending credits of a book or of a sermon. It's the source of life, where God claims you as his own, giving you his name, granting you all the blessings of peace and love and faith and grace. It's all promised to those who sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you embark on this journey in your life, don't take another step until you have received the blessing of God. Pause and drink it in and learn to live in its reality. So now go with the blessing of God. Peace is yours, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ sincerely. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all you nations. exalt him.